a strategic plan, and this is a decision. Mr. Davis.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Excited to have this this version of the plan in front of you this morning for your consideration and conversation. Again, I'll echo many thanks to Commissioner Thorburn. She did spend a lot of time going through this document and vastly improving it with her edits. So and when I say that, I think a lot of that work that went into that really emphasized that hunters, anglers, and commercial fishers are still really important to the agency. And at the same time, this plan is throwing the door pretty wide open proactively pursuing, stronger preservation, protection, and perpetuation to achieve conservation outcomes for all residents in Washington. And I appreciate the public comments. I really feel like there's a strong component in here about community engagement, and that is something that we have a lot of space to improve, showing up in these communities around the state and actively listening to understand. The revisions also try to do a good job in describing kind of the tension. I'll call it creative tension. Sometimes maybe it doesn't feel that way to you or the director. But it describes how difficult it is to meet as many people's needs as possible in a changing environment with changing ecosystems, more people coming, and the spectrum of values and expectations that we strive to meet. Maybe I stop there. I'm excited. Quite frankly, a plan is a plan, but a plan isn't good until you're actually implementing it. I'd love to get to implementation phase so that we can start to show up in the public in a much more effective way than we have in the past. You'll notice we changed the title of the plan to A Path to an Improved Era for Fish, Wildlife, and People. That's really what this plan is about, better serving our residents, better conservation outcomes, better opportunities for all the residents of Washington State.
Comments or questions from the commission? Seeing none. Oh, excuse me, Commissioner Linville, please.
So I am really struggling with this. The people that I'm talking to are just not hearing their voice in this document. And I believe wholeheartedly that the departments did really, due diligence to get that voice in there and get that voice heard. And I'm comfortable with that. But the fact of the matter is they're still not hearing their voice in this document. And I am struggling, if that voice isn't in there or if it's perceived to not be in there, I worry about moving forward until it is in there. Personally, I think that there is a lack of a connection between working lands being habitat and what that looks like in the future. And I think that's maybe where that voice is not being heard or felt heard. The other thing that I'm hearing is people are concerned. This is a strategic plan. And I think as I've been, thinking about this, strategic plans, I come from a government agency and strategic plans were just, they are guiding documents. They're not policy that generally flog people. They're not the stick. Hopefully they're the carrot. And but I think people have concerns that they've not heard that this is a strategic plan and not like sort of policy level stuff. And I feel remiss that I did not work hard enough when I had the opportunity to. But I just, if there's a major, you know, rural Eastern Washington, particularly, these are the folks that I'm really hoping to have a, you know, moving forward, that the department and private landowners, you know, are going to be able to work together for the good of the wildlife that's on this land. And if those people's voices aren't heard in this document, I worry that that will impede that, and they'll just feel as though the department's just here to tell them what to do. And so I just, I'm sorry I'm expressing this so late in the game. I felt like I tried to work towards it, and I'm concerned because I thought we made progress on this, but I'm not hearing that from people that I talk to. I'm not hearing that they feel like the changes that were made make them feel heard. And so I just wanted to express that.
Okay, Commissioner Thorburn and then Commissioner Baker, and somewhere in there I have a question for Jeff, so I'll do it after you ladies, please.
Thank you. I want to follow up on Commissioner Linville. We've heard not, Dave Hedrick has been expressing this since he saw the document kind of late in the process. You might recall this actually has been before us for consideration for adoption much earlier. And I really appreciate that the staff has worked with us and tried to widen the public engagement since then. But we have, and it is, but we have heard not just from Dave Hedrick, but from representatives of Eastern Washington public, including legislators and commissioners, just the concerns that Commissioner Linville was talking about. It is our communities in Eastern Washington that really, as Toby was kind of pointing out in his public testimony, provide a lot of the habitat and live in the ecosystem of much of our wildlife. And so unfortunately, as we heard from Dave this morning, this process has not bridged a lot of distrust that is historic and kind of growing that our communities have. And so I too am struggling with it. I think that it's improved. But I just want to share some stories about how important our communities in Washington, in Eastern Washington, are. I was looking for dancing sagegrass a couple of springs ago in the Lake Creek drainage, which is the main resident area for our sagegrass in the Crab Creek Management Unit. And I've been up since 4 in the morning looking for these animals, and was heading back actually when I saw a single male sagegrass dancing. It was on private land, and I watched it from the road. And later that day, I contacted the rancher and asked if I could, I told him what had happened and asked if he would allow me to to go onto his property to do more of a search. And this rancher, his brother and his son and nephew have the largest holdings in the area. And they also have enrolled in a wonderful program called the Sage Grouse Initiative, where they have done, they've received support through this program. It's a government program that's run through Pheasants Forever in Washington State. And they've done things on their land. They graze cattle to support sage grouse habitat. He was pretty interested to hear that he maybe had a sage grouse on or more on his land, but a little hesitant. And we talked for quite a while on the phone, and he did grant me permission. I could just sense his kind of excitement that this might be something that was going on after he'd invested in a program and improvements to get the bird on his land. These are the partners who we need for our wildlife. And these are the programs that we need. We have in Eastern Washington, in the wildlife program, we have biologists who are private land biologists and work with these programs and these individuals. They live in the communities they are the ones who help us engage with the landowners to work on habitat and working lands, as Molly called them, to support our wildlife. Douglas County Conservation District has a comprehensive county conservation plan that works with private landowners to support wildlife habitat on working lands. These are the voices that were not engaged as intensively in the development of the plan, and that's what we're hearing about. These are partnerships that we've had through the years that need to be strengthened. There's a section in the plan that's called collaborative conservation, and it talks about strengthening old partnerships. These are the voices that need to be heard. So I'm thinking, we've worked on this. I'm going to support passage of the plan because we have words like strengthening old partnerships in the plan. It is a plan. It's how we move forward. But I'm going to be watching. That's what I want to see as we move forward, that we are strengthening those old partnerships. We're using our private lands biologists, our wildlife area managers. All of these are folks who live in the communities. They understand the communities. And these are the kinds of programs that we need to grow and strengthen to build the trust that's needed to move forward with this plan. That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Commissioner Baker and then Commissioner Kehoe, please.
Thanks, Chair Carpenter. Thank you to Kim and Molly for your comments, especially the end of what Commissioner Thorburn just said. This plan is, I find it heartening that we have so much interest and not just interest from one set of people or the other, But finally, after 2 years of working on this, we have a document that people in this state are interested in, all kinds of people from all areas. That is the point of this. The main factors in this plan are that we need to listen more, we need to establish partnerships, and we need to do what we can to ensure that in 25 years, we still have fish and wildlife and lands to manage in any way that our predecessors believe is the correct way. We can't control that from where we are. So I think it is very clear that this is a living document. This is kind of a monumental document, and it is aspirational. It is certainly not policy. We are not, with a successful vote today, we aren't establishing policy. We are endorsing a plan that requires us to pay attention to habitat and to work with partners for a future that we all kind of want. And so I'm proud of it. We have been working on this for 2 years. We had at least two commission meetings in Eastern Washington. It's ancient history now, but we have done what we can to ensure that everyone has a voice in the development of this plan. But I want to second what Kim said. We are, the point of this is that we have to listen and we have to stay on it. And at least I believe strongly that we will. So I strongly endorse this plan. I think it's great. And I appreciate my fellow commissioners and all the literally thousands of people that have worked on this thing.
Thank you, Vice Chair Baker. Commissioner Kehoe and then Commissioner McIsaac. And then I'm going to try and get a question in for Jeff Davis after that, if I may.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I turned off my microphone because, I'm sorry, I turned off my video because I have to get really close to my computer for the audio to work. So, first of all, I'd like to thank the Big Tent Committee, along with Rob and Jeff, and everybody that's put a lot of work and effort into this. Commissioner Baker's right. I mean, this has been going on for 2 years. We've had several meetings. And I know a lot of work has gone into this. But my question, I think, is for directed toward Commissioner Linville's comments about kind of rural Washington's voice not being heard or reflected in the document. And so I guess my question is it a process thing, or is it that some the rural communities and organizations have requested changes to the document that haven't been adopted. So, or maybe it's a combination of both. I'd kind of like to hear a little bit more about that, maybe from Commissioner Linville and maybe from Commissioner Thorburn too.
Commissioner Linville, would you like to respond before I go to Commissioner McIsaac?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So that's a very valid and good question. And no, I don't think there's any specifics, requests for additions that have been made and just not adopted into this. It really is more of, first off, there's two challenging things about this, right? One is, this is more around a cultural value sense. It's more about, rural people are, you know, we hear it every time with wolves, right? These folks are out here, they're raising livestock, they're, you know, in their minds, they're feeding people, and they're the bad guy, right? They're the bad guy because we have this challenging predator on the landscape. And I think the sense is that this document is more supportive of that viewpoint of, you know, because our population in the state is so skewed urban, that that is the viewpoint that is going to be the driver for future policy in this state. And the fact of the matter is, a very disproportionately small group of people are supporting the lands, paying property taxes on lands that are wildlife habitat. And in order to pay those property taxes, you have to have an industry, which is in our case, agriculture. And so it's the sense is that that importance of keeping large tracts of land intact for wildlife habitat is not valued in this plan. And it's not, and that relationship between agriculture, what I call working lands, and wildlife habitat is not recognized or honored in that. And the worry is if you run the ranchers off the land, if you run the farmers off the land, the land will become fragmented. And so it's more about that there's not honoring that big, big, important relationship and not having something in place that protects that, because that's a bell that can't be unrung if you know, it's so easy to say what needs to be done in agriculture, and it's so hard to actually do it, right? And the other thing that doesn't get talked about is, and I will say it right now, I haven't figured out how to make a living raising cattle yet. I'm excited because I break even every year. And, you know, so people want you to have a herder in your, you know, with your cows all day long. I run a 6,000 acre ranch totally by myself because I can't afford to hire somebody. And I can't work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and be with my cattle that whole time. And I can't hire somebody to do it. So those are the kind of conundrums that get totally overlooked. And we get these sweeping statements, well, you just have to do this and you just have to do that. And the fact of the matter is, we can't afford to do those things. And it would be a lot easier for me to break this place up into 20 acre parcels and move to Tahiti for the rest of my life. And I would be rich because I'm land rich and money poor. And that's the bell that can't be unrung, right? Like that's if I split this place up into 20 acre parcels, it's no longer wildlife habitat. And people feel like that struggle every day to keep these big ranches and these big farms intact. It is a struggle every single day. And we have people pounding on us because we are ruining the environment. We're, you know, hard on predators. We're all of these things. And they're not honoring the fact that we work 7 days a week to keep these large parcels of land intact. And that is, I think, the crux of what people aren't feeling in this plan, is how important, it's everything to keep these farms and ranches intact if you want good wildlife habitat. And it's expensive and it's hard work. And that was way more of an answer than you were probably wanting, but that is how I see it.
No, that's useful to hear. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindvall. Commissioner Mukajic, and then we'll go to Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is pretty similar to Commissioner Keogh's, actually. But let me also start by saying thanks to the staff for all the work on this. That's been considerable, and the committee work has been considerable, and Commissioner Baker in particular deserves a lot of recognition here for her focus on this for a long time. We've been on the verge of adopting this more than once. And so I'm sensitive to that kind of a thing about getting to finality. In the end, we want everybody to say this is a good plan. Ideally, we would like all the people that are testifying and everybody who's read it to say this is good. And so we want everybody to endorse it and feel like it's a good thing. So I'm not sure if we're completely there. When I asked the question of the gentleman in public testimony about specificity of a recommendation, he didn't have one, but Commissioner Linville did. And so I think, and her answer just a moment ago, again, reinforces how huge it is, the rural connection. The rural connection is giant. And when Commissioner Baker says, we just want to have more fish and wildlife through the years, that's the single highlight of this whole thing, and that's what everybody wants. Guess where most of that wildlife happens, whether it's aquatic or terrestrial? The rural connection is enormous. And so normally at this point in time, maybe we might consider a motion to adopt, but as a question back to Commissioner Linville, if there was a motion to adopt and change the following this or that, so that when you go back to the folks, or Commissioner Thorburn, you go to your folks there, that you do get the answer, well, you know what? I support that now. It's a good strategic plan. I'm not one for a delay here, but you can't have a motion to adopt with some sort of a little change. So I guess I put it to Commissioner Linville first. You know, are you able to come up with a few edits that you think would get those people who don't think the landowner connection is as solid as it could be, that there's something that could be done easily and quickly without delaying more to try to get there?
No, the simple answer is no. I don't think there's an easy one. That where I'm landing on this, because there's another thing that is not being said, and they're my people, so I'll say it. We're not also not getting enough input from rural folks. Part of that is just because disproportionately, you know, they're such a small portion of the population. And so that's on us, that we're not showing up often enough and testifying often enough. I have comfort around the fact that this is not policy, and this is a guiding document. I'm personally comfortable with that, because like Kim said, we're going to be a hawk on this, right? We're going to make sure that these, you know, people are included and taken care of. I'm just concerned because that's my sense, because, you know, that's easy for me to say. I'm on the commission and I have the ability to be a voice. But I don't think that, I think people are concerned because this feels like policy to them. That's going to have, that they are going to, through this document, be told what to do. And that's the concern. And that isn't an easy fix. Just to answer your question specifically.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Thanks. I just want to talk a little bit about the issue that Commissioners Kehoe and McIsaac raised, and agree with Commissioner Linville that it is not an easy fix, because it really relates to how this was done. The fact that there are huge issues of trust, as I mentioned previously, with our Eastern Washington communities where the wildlife live. And Molly's really expressed that well. She started off her comments talking about the values discussion that shows up several times in the document. And you know, whether it's sitting at WAG or often in our commission meetings, and the way this kicked off, I sense a real fear in our real communities that as we look at the diversity of values, and it really is a, I call it a spectrum of 180 degrees, because at one end, the values really are completely in conflict with the values regarding wildlife. And these are social and cultural values, as Molly pointed out. They're not really about conservation and management of wildlife. They're about how an individual responds to wildlife. But I think the fear and the trust issue on values is that we'll kind of land on majority approaches. And that's, quite frankly, when I saw the early drafts of this, that's what I responded to in this document. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to deal with this as a majority. And so it kicked off with problems with trust. And while we've had lots of discussions really worked on that and acknowledged that there is this spectrum of values, it often brings conflict before us, but we need to keep our eyes on the ball, which is science-based conservation and management of fish and wildlife, and providing sustainable opportunity to enjoy wildlife in the way of our choosing, as long as it's legitimate. I think we've gotten there pretty much with the words. And as I said previously, we need to hold our feet to the fire. But I think the unfortunate thing is we've got a trust issue, and the process kind of kicked it off and exacerbated that. To me, the only way we can overcome that is to keep working on it and supporting our rural communities with good programs help them to have their working lands, to be able to live the rural life, and hopefully enjoy the wildlife in the way that we all want to. So that's my perspective. I don't think it's an easy fix.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. If I may, Jeff, a couple comments. I first want to start by thanking all the people that worked on this. My colleagues on the commission that put hours upon hours upon hours of work in this. By the way, I see that Director Susewen's hands up, so I'll be brief. But and I want to thank the public for their participation. And Jeff, you and your folks on the staff side, this is a big lift. And I hear the heartfelt comments from my colleagues on the commission, which I take very, very seriously. So my question of you is pretty simple. This is a living document, and I think we all know what that means. But as you as the lead on this, how do you plan to implement the working document verbiage into you don't want to be a firefighter running around all over the state putting fires out. What's your vision of how to deal with things at different levels of importance, concern to different segments of society? Because I think that's going to be really important for the first, 2-3 years. I think that's my question, Jeff, if you could.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, it's a living document. I'm saying that to you, and I don't want to say that in a way that's disrespectful of the challenge that you all just talked about, which is that level of trust. So, sorry. If you say living document to the folks in Northeast Washington, they've had experiences and a history with the department that that quite frankly started this trust concern, and they feel oftentimes like we just show up to check a box and we don't really listen to understand. And I, you know, from my perspective, I'm thankful that you all are going to watch us like a hawk because you have a role to play in this too. You know, the director and the commission are the bosses. And I want to say this too. We want you to hang on to this thing, make sure that we're following through, set us up and support what we need in order to implement this plan successfully. We've never run a strategic plan through the commission. Your predecessors have never had ownership of an agency's strategic plan because typically they're written from an operational perspective. And so we wanted to do it. We want you holding us accountable. How we're going to do the living document, I think for us, you know, if I can stick on the, you know, Eastern Washington thing, we've got to show up. And when I say we, that's you all too. Show up in these communities. And part of that accountability and watching us like a hawk is being there with us and listening also to make sure that we understand what that is. Now, is that going to translate to every decision is going to be made the way the individual communities feel like it absolutely should be? No, because your job is really hard. The director's job is really hard too. And because it's a statewide thing, it's really hard. And we tried to describe that in the document about the value spectrum. I think it's really important, and I keep saying this to Director Suswin and Deputy Director Windrow, we've got to make sure that we don't just try to do everything in all the near-term strategies and actions right out of the gate. We need to be very diligent in prioritizing a few of them so that we can do them holistically and thoroughly and not fall down. And there's some sequence in these near-term actions that make a lot of sense. The key piece is that community engagement, so that we have this plan and we're going to be tracking our performance in this, in all of these strategies. And that's the next step, is really to dive into how to measure our performance and then how to report it back to the public so that they can also be holding you accountable to holding us accountable. And then as we see, hey, is this resulting in the outcomes that we anticipated or that we were shooting for? And if they're not, well, then we're right back out circling around the state, talking to all the communities about how we might want to adjust this plan in order to get back on track. And I suspect that, you know, things change, social, political, environmental things change, and we're going to be paying attention to that and listening to understand what people are up against and coming back to this plan on a regular basis. We hope that that's another part of you holding us accountable, that we take a look at this at a biennial time frame and we come back to you and report, here's how we've done in the last 2 years. Here's what we've accomplished. Here's the outcomes that we've achieved. Here's some of the concerns or risks that we're hearing from the public or from fish and wildlife population information. So I feel very confident. Now, I say that, and I've had many conversations with Mr. Hedrick, and I get that he, you know, you hear words come out of his mouth like I'm spinning things, and that's something I'm really wanting to at least for myself, because I don't control everyone in the department. I want to make sure that I show up and and in a very different way so that Mr. Hedrick can feel like we're making progress and that he's not just a voice that's not being heard moving forward.
Jeff, thank you very much for that explanation. Director Susewin, do you have the floor, please?
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. And I debated whether or when to weigh in. I was, you know, this is your time to really discuss the plan. And I thought I would wait till you'd done whatever you're going to do. But watching this debate, it strikes me pretty profoundly that first, incredible amount of work by staff, led by Jeff, Rob, Kevin, Lynn, Carrie, I'm missing folks, but Jeff was in the lead. Assigned this to Jeff for a reason because of his passion towards this and gave him a very different assignment. Go do a strategic plan, and I don't want the same damn old strategic plan that we always see coming from agencies. I know Jeff is committed. I'm committed to engaging and connecting with the public. That's central to us being successful, so get out there and do that. I think they've done Jeff and crew have done an incredible job of that. Having been around state agencies for very, very long time, strategic plans can be written, as Jeff said, without a commission, without reaching out to the public at all. We were not interested in that in any way. I sit back, I come to my 10,000 foot level, and I listen to the conversation that we just had, the discussion we just had. I'll use discussion rather than debate. And that in itself tells me we are on the right track. This is some of that healthy tension Jeff talked about. Who would have ever thunk we'd have this kind of energy around a discussion of a strategic plan? That means to me it's working. We're touching the right people. We're saying that we need to do the right things. It's not perfect. If we wait till it's perfect, we'll never be done. I hear that concern from the rural, east side, whatever person. I think I understand it as much as a non-rural, west side, non-landowner can understand it, recognizing that there's a limitation there. And I see, because I know, I believe where we're intending this thing to go, written throughout the document, the need to support those folks and to accept the fact that we live in a society where we are driven by a majority. And so for us, the need is to make sure that majority understands the value of those working lands, understands the value of the habitat, understands the value of fish and wildlife in and of itself. Most of our citizens in that majority are disconnected, and this plan, I think, written through it, says it's our job as an agency to resurrect that and get those folks engaged and understanding the value of those lands, and that's the plan. I think it's different than most plans, and I also appreciate, watch us like a hawk. I want you there with us every step, correcting this and making sure that we're on the right track to engage the vast majority of the people in the state, to make sure they understand and appreciate the value of fish and wildlife, and to make sure that we're on a track where we can continue delivering that to them and their kids. And I think that's, when I read it, I see that in the plan, but that's what I think it says, so I probably read it differently than folks who are questioning whether that says that or it's actually an attack on some element of our society. So that's a long-winded way. It should have just been saying that, hey, this is about the best work I've ever seen put into a strategic plan. And so thank you, Jeff and crew. And I look forward to the further engagement on this with you all.
The director, thank you for your comments. And don't go away. You're next after this event under director's report. Vice Chair Baker. You're muted, Barbara.
I wanted to comment on one thing that I've heard. This is the agency's strategic plan, but the responsibilities that come out of it are not just to agency staff. They are very much to us as a commission. I agree with pretty much everything that's been said, but especially Kelly's the statement that he just made that this plan encourages us and maybe mandates that we address these cultural issues that have long been simmering and have long had tension between how we manage wildlife and lands and fish and the the conflict that comes out of that. I don't think I agree with Kim that the development of this plan has exacerbated tensions, but I do think that what it does in requiring us to listen and to establish partnerships acknowledges those tensions, maybe for the first time, and maybe that's what we're talking about here. And so they've surfaced. And what this does is make us deal with those. One of the ways that the commission, in one of the points in the plan where the commissioners, all of us, have increased responsibility is that there's a suggestion that we do what amounts to, I think of them as town halls, regional town halls, and that we come back and with whatever part of the state that we're representing, with the understanding that all of us represent the whole state, but my region has a bunch of land in it and a bunch of habitat and a bunch of shoreline, especially, and a lot of water. And I need to get out there more and listen to people and then bring their perspectives back to the rest of us. And our predecessors, I believe, need to do that too. And that is what this plan requires. The plan itself does not focus on one of the cultural issues or the other. It simply says that for us to ensure that we manage these critters and fish and lands properly over the next 25 years, broken down into 4-year segments, that we do a lot better job of listening to people and bringing our different perspectives to the table and talking about those cultural issues rather than have that simmer and have bad feelings come up at the worst time when we're trying to actually protect and perpetuate fish and wildlife, which is actually our first mandate. So I think that's what this plan does. And I think this has been a terrific conversation because it has begun exactly what we're supposed to do when and if we adopt the plan and then make changes as we go along. So that's my perspective on this.
Thank you, Vice Chair Baker. I've got Commissioner Graybill's hand up and then Commissioner Linville, and then we'll move to see if there's a motion made. Commissioner Graybill. You got to unmute yourself, David.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. This has been a terrific discussion. I really appreciate what Commissioner Linville has brought to the forefront. Concerns like this are not unusual. It's not unusual for our constituents or stakeholders or customers in Eastern Washington feel about the direction of the commission in state actions. I'm extremely impressed with the work that's been done, the value of this document. I think the previous strategic plan was 8 pages and was just very broad strokes. And I really appreciate the deep dive into this and addressing specific issues as we move forward. We often hear from staff and the public about implementation, the lack of implementation, either in policy or plan. And I think what we've heard today and the commitments from the authors of this document to really focusing on what Commissioner Thornburn said about strengthening partnerships. That's going to be increasingly important as we move into the future in our lands that support fish and wildlife and oftentimes are under private ownership are going to be extremely important. And so I'm encouraged by the commitment to treat it as a living document and to, as I think Commissioner Baker mentioned, regular intervals of outreach to the rural communities to keep us on track. But thanks everyone for an incredible amount of work that's gone into this. And I think it's a document that you should be proud of, and I think the commission can be proud of, and we can move forward with confidence that we're going to satisfy the needs of our state's fish and wildlife into the future.
Thank you, Commissioner Graybill. Commissioner Linville.
I can get to a yes on this. I think it'd be helpful for me to get to a yes on this if we could agree to build in strategic plan, maybe updates or conversations in a certain number of commission meetings. I feel a really sense of responsibility on this. On my yes on this, and I don't want to just sit back and assume that all the things that we say we're going to do, we're doing. If we could sort of have a, you know, set in stone opportunities to talk about this going forward, I'd be a lot more comfortable with that.
Commissioner Linville, are you going to, I see Commissioner Baker's hand up. Go ahead.
Well, Commissioner Linville, I believe that was intended to begin with, but if, and so I would like to suggest that we come up with a schedule for how we are going to implement in the near term. At the next big tent meeting, we can do the next big tent meeting next week if you want to, but I would like to say that we are, or at least I am, completely in agreement that we need to have some parameters around how we are going to begin this process once the plan is adopted, if it's adopted. Also, I'd like to say that I did check with, so that's the commission overlay. I checked with Director Susowin yesterday about when we are going to hear from the agency. Once, as soon as we could hear from the agency, meaning Director Susowin, in a formal way regarding a sort of report card on how we're doing, I suggested that we use the near-term actions in the plan as the performance measures and asked him if he thought that he could give the entire commission a briefing on that in 6 months. So that is not to say that the next time we're going to look at this is 6 months, because that is not accurate. But I did ask the director if he could come back to us formally with a report card in 6 months. And forgive me, Kelly, for putting words in your mouth, but he agreed to do that. So I'd like to offer up the next Big Tent Committee as this discussion. I'd like to have one before our next full commission meeting and have us report back to the full commission at that time, if that's acceptable.
Commissioner Thorburn, Commissioner Linville, does that meet your needs as far as going forward? And is there any other disagreement from other commissioners?
I think so. I think that I know this is a big tent issue, but maybe I just need to always be on big tent. I feel like we need a lot of check-ins on this, and for those to not just be, yeah, we're going to do it. I'm kind of a concrete person. So, you know, I guess I can make it up to myself to make sure these happen too. But I would like to say we're going to meet quarterly with the full commission or somewhere along those lines to have complete comfort around that.
Any objection from other commissioners regarding the quarterly get together on behalf of Commissioner Linville's needs? We want you happy, Molly.
Fine with me.
Sorry, Commissioner Smith, I missed your comment.
No, I just said I agree. You know, and having been in the Big Ten Committee, I'm watching this process I think the dialogue's been great this morning. I agree with all my colleagues, and I think quarterly check-ins are more frequent. Absolutely, why not? Right thing to do.
Very good. Commissioner Thorburn, please.
Yeah, there's a near-term action under community engagement that I want to call out, because I'd like to see it happen like right away. And that is the development of regional advisory groups. That would be something new. I realize it's a resource issue, but I just think that sometimes our regions are under-resourced as a means of engaging with our communities. And I think the idea of regional advisory groups is great, and would really encourage that near-term action be pulled out and worked on as soon as possible.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Commissioner Anderson, did you have your hand up?
Well, I think so. You know, I'm using a new technology, so I'd like to speak. I think it's obviously I've been listening very carefully, not engaging because of my technology problem here. I find myself, you know, and I live in Western Washington, but I have a real strong connection and engagement in Eastern Washington. And so I really understand, I think, what I'm hearing brought forward by Molly and Kim, but also others. And I really like the idea of a direct engagement outreach fairly quickly, not necessarily with a prescribed set of how to do it, like the regional groups, but rather, you know, just basically going forward and saying, this is what we see are our issues with you or with this plan, and directly try to outreach with constituents. And principally in the Eastern Washington area, I think I'm not trying to dismiss Western Washington, but I think the blister is on the east side that is a rub, and we need to resolve that, because everything that we do, you know, it's not just the strategic plan, but all our fish, all our wildlife, all our lands, all everything is connected to this. This brings it together. And so I think we need to go out and meet with people very deliberately, not in a committee, not through committees, but, you know, certainly at the commission meetings. But I think all of us take responsibility and go out and have engagement.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. If there's no further discussion, I'm looking for a motion on this item.
This is Commissioner Baker. I move that we adopt the strategic plan with the understanding that it is a living document as presented by staff.
We have a motion from Vice Chair Baker. Do we have a second?
I'll second it, Smith.
Commissioner Smith for the second. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you all. What a great discussion. Look forward to making this all better in the future. Thank you very much.